Okay, you ready to take this ride with me? Come on. Come on, hold my hand. Let's do this.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
No, I'll do it.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I kind of do like that sort of thing, to be honest with you.
Whatever.
Come on, sing along. You know the words. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I think that's what you expected. Maybe not.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. How are you? Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I just reached puberty. I reached puberty a number of times, as a matter of fact. Welcome to the program. Are you as confused about everything going on around you as I am? Sure you are. Maybe. I don't know. Let me start this. I don't like to do political programs, but I've been forced into doing them now because I can't put my head in the sand anymore. Here's the deal. First of all, I don't know if you voted for, what's his name, Trimp? I don't know his name. I don't know if you voted for him or you didn't vote for him. I'm going to speak to both sides right now because I've made some realizations that I just have to. Donald Trump is like a religion. Either you follow him or you don't. And if you do follow him, you follow him blindly like he can do no wrong. That he is just whatever, he is God. And you fall into that category because he himself believes that he is God. He's alluded to it many times. It's about the only religious comment that he's ever made is the fact that he probably is God or acts accordingly. Those of you that follow him believe that that's the case, that this amazing individual has come along and will save this country because, and I mean this now, because you think this has all gone too far. The tone of the entire country was that during the election. Remember, on the Democratic side, there was a guy named Bernie Sanders, whom people fell in love with. They sided with him like he was the amazing God that appeared from the skies, the Democratic skies. The Democratic Party had its own Trump, a man who was willing to rebel against the way things were. So if you take the Bernie Sanders and you take the Donald Trump and you put them together, you've got a majority of the country, not all, but a majority of the country that wanted change in a big, big way, that were not happy with the stagnant, the way it always is kind of thing. So then the choices came and Bernie was knocked out by a machine called the Clinton machine, available everywhere where fine machines are sold. And when the Clinton machine took over, it was Clinton or Trump. It was tough for everybody. Some people were standing by Hillary no matter what. Some people were standing by Trump no matter what. But the two choices, for most people, you must understand, were choices to be made while you puke in a toilet bowl. There were no choices. Who's at blame here? We are. For not having better people step forward. Because smart people don't want to do that job. They want nothing to do with it. It's a life-ending thing. The only people who want to be president of the United States are people that want to be powerful, that want to be God, whose ego is through the roof, and they want to command. That's the personality that you get. That's as far as Clinton and Trump were concerned. Bernie Sanders, I don't think he wanted to be president as much as he wanted to legitimately change things. I don't think he cared about the position. I think he cares more about making things right in his mind. But Trump and Clinton, power machines, both of them. Egos beyond the definition of egos. So we had nothing to choose from. When you have no decisions to make, you make poor decisions. In my estimation, this was a very poor decision. Both decisions might have been like which one was less poor, and that's pathetic. In a country this size with over 300 million people, that's pathetic. And I blame Joe Biden for a lot of it, because Biden was somewhat of a rebel, yet not. But because his son died, it tore him up. But I'm sure his son would have said to him from the heavens above, if there's such a thing, would have said, "Dad, run for president, my God. I want you to. Don't let me hold you back because of what happened to me. Strive for greatness. Save this country." But Joe wasn't up to it. Joe would have been a formidable force against Trump. Probably. And there must be other millions of Americans that were able to pretty much be compassionate and also to know what they're doing to make things better here. But not. That's not the way it ended up. Instead, and excuse my opinion here, we put ourselves on a path of a speeding roller coaster with nobody really driving the thing and derailment always a probability. Donald, whatever his last name is, I'll call him Don. I don't know him well, but I'm starting to get to know him real well. He is, in my estimation, asshole / personality disorder poster child. There are a lot of other things involved that make him not feasible to be doing what he's doing. Now, those of you that love him, he can do no wrong. The brasher, the better. The more ridiculous, the better. Those of you really do fall under that category of what Trump himself said. If Trump stood in the middle of Manhattan and shot somebody, he wouldn't lose one supporter, wouldn't lose one follower. You people have proven that. Because Trump's starting to shoot people. Not literally, figuratively. As you know, over the weekend, he instituted a travel ban for people coming from 7 countries. And it was not specific as to whether they should be having visas or MasterCards or passports or anything like that. And he did this quickly by executive order. And the next minute, all of a sudden, people coming from any of these 7 countries, which are hotbeds, I will admit, they could be turned away, sent back to their country, or detained without proper documentation. it happened immediately. And Trump says, not his administration, but Trump says, I had to do it like that because if I gave people notice, they'd be flooding into this country to get in here before the ban took place. That was his explanation, and it's somewhat accurate, I suppose. But it caused chaos across the country and across the world. And it sparked more demonstrations, and it sparked more anger and more confusion. And it gives Donald Trump, is it? It gives him the persona of being a dictator. I've said on the show last week, and I stand by this, you have elected into office a man who wants to be a dictator, just like Vladimir Putin. You're saying, Ron, that's absurd. No, it's not. He wants that power, and you know it. He surrounds himself by people, and if they disagree with him, he'll just go ahead and do it anyway. He doesn't think things through to their final resting place. His ideas are all impetuous. He doesn't sleep. His mind is overactive. He doesn't think it through. He thinks because he was successful in business, he can be successful in running a country. In business, you make decisions on your own. You act upon them. And if they don't work out, you declare bankruptcy, or you sell the faction and you move on, or you fire somebody. That's what you do in business. You can never really fail unless you really, really have no foundation under you. That's why Trump is successful. But in running a country, there is no room for extreme failure. Your immediate decisions can be quite harmful if not thought through and investigated and discussed. So, this is showing very, very quickly that the man makes ill decisions, quick decisions, without thinking them through. He appeases what he thinks are the masses and thinks that he can do no wrong, that he can shoot somebody in the middle of Manhattan and nothing will happen to him and his people will always be there no matter what he does. With this type of knowledge or belief, he moves forward in a haphazard, childish manner. Not that I care, but as we did a travel ban with Iran, which is part of this, Iran has now imposed a travel ban on Americans. A lot of people have businesses in Iran. I don't know why, but they do. They are being vetted or not allowed into the country. This is what's going to start happening. As I talked about last week, during the week, Donald Trump wants to impose a 20% tariff import tax on Mexico. Anything that comes into this country from Mexico, Trump will impose a 20% tax. That doesn't mean that Mexico pays for the wall. It means that we pay for the wall if we buy something from Mexico. 20% of it will be taxed, and you will pay 20% more for the Mexican product. That means, perhaps, that the Mexican economy will start to dive. You'll have more unrest in Mexico. We'll have a trade war between two countries that border each other. Bravo, Mr. Trump. Nicely played. I have to laugh, because it's not well thought through. Here's a little known item that is the case, just so you understand what kind of dictator you're dealing with here. Trump, the Trump administration has instituted a media blackout at the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. Trump has said and instructed the EPA, our Environmental Institute Protection Agency, not to deal with the media. Don't put out any press releases to the media. Don't make any statements. He has also told the EPA he has barred the staff from awarding any new contracts or grants. He has also imparted a larger communications clampdown in the executive branch. Emails sent to the EPA staff since President Trump's inauguration Friday and reviewed by the Associated Press detailed specific prohibitions banning press releases to the press, blog updates, or posts to the agency's social media accounts. It's a temporary suspension of all business activities at the department, including communications with the media. What Trump is doing is he's taking the Environmental Protection Agency and he's shut them down from the public and from the media. No statements shall be made to the media. No press releases shall be made to the media. And Trump hates the media because he thinks that the media gave him a lot of trouble and called him a poo-poo head. So his revenge, apparently, is to do stuff without letting the media know about it, which means we will only know the things that we are supposed to know, according to him, and nothing else. These are dangerous, dangerous practices in a free society, in a democratic society. You don't really know that, do you? And this is probably only the beginning. But I must thank Mr. Trump, and I call him Mr. in a very loose manner. I must thank him for one thing. I thank you, sir, or ma'am, whatever. I thank you for dividing the country definitively. Because it takes that in order to bring it back together. It takes a tragedy to get into a better place. And you are creating disarray, dissent, anger. You are giving people cause to revolt against you. You are giving people cause to call you an insane dictator. You are giving them reason to demonstrate against you, to watch you carefully, to disrespect you, make fun of you, to gather in large numbers to oppose you, not only in this country, but throughout the world. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for making us get more involved in our country, something that we were quite passive about in the past. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for slapping us in the face so we can finally do something about our own destiny. Unfortunately, it may take some going backwards before we can move forwards. So thank you. You make us feel refreshed. Thank you for making us feel like no one can trample on us anymore. We have a voice. Thank you. Now, those are the people that oppose Trump. Those of you who still support him, enjoy your time with him. It may not be that long as far as him holding a position in our democracy is concerned. I mean, I swear, Donald, if you sneeze wrong, people will be on your ass like you wouldn't believe. You created that. Nobody else did. Now let's go back to the origins of this problem, if I may. This country is quite bigoted. And they admit it behind closed doors. In public, they don't. I've said this to, I interviewed a lady who wrote a book about this country, Divided. It's an amazing book because she wrote it before Trump even got into office or was even running. She was so on the money and it hadn't even happened yet. We'll run the interview sometime later in the week, perhaps, but it was an amazing interview. And, in conversation, I said to her, I said, here's my belief. I believe that this country as a whole is not as loving and humane as they think they are. I believe there is still an incredible racial divide. And I believe that when Obama was elected president by a good majority of the country, there was a minority of the country that didn't want a black president. No. And believe that Barack Obama was president to represent the blacks and not the whites. There is a large group of people that feel that way, I truly believe. And you can look at the political map of the United States, and it bears out what I'm saying. Those states that tend not to be too, well, let's put it melting pot-ish, tend to want to, fighting to get their state back. They don't live day to day in a mixture. Now, in some of those states, a large black population. Those kind of went Democrat in a sense. But the Texas, the Midwest, parts of the South, this has been a generation's fight for white people to get their country back. And Barack Obama becoming president to them was the last straw. Now, you can disagree with me all you want. But when generations are brought up, when your father had those kinds of opinions, that filters into their kids every once in a while, and the generations follow that. But again, when Obama became president, to many people, that was it. And to many people, Obama wasn't even American. He wasn't even born here, they say. And Trump was the leader of that movement. So when they heard a prolific guy like Trump, making those statements about the first black president, all of a sudden they came out of the closet. When they heard about Trump's strange attitudes toward the KKK, they came out of the closet. They said, finally, a man who undertones what we've been thinking through our generations, that it's all gone too far. Who's going to represent the whites now? Have the whites become a minority? Excuse me for being so candid about it, but this is a belief that many people have. Not everybody. So when the white man came along, Mr. Trump, this is a logical conclusion. Where were the Democratic states? They were the ones that were melting pots, the cosmopolitan areas, the Northeast, California, places where on a day-to-day basis, we all get together really, really well. We even increase our experiences. The melting pot cities, the melting pot states, where we see each other as people and not different colors of skin, where we benefit from people from other countries and other cultures teaching us the best of their lives as we teach them theirs, ours, and theirs. We enjoy their cuisine, their culture, who they are, and yet they're still Americans. That's what we believe in this melting pot. We could never live without them. They are part of our fabric, and we are all the better for them, as we are all still Americans. That's the amazing part of this country. That's what it's supposed to be. But some states, a lot of states in the South and the Midwest, don't live like that day to day. There is an undertone of resentment and anger. And the talent of this Trump guy was to tap on it, to bring it back, and to say, you've been left out. You're not better off, you're worse off. The guy in the White House before wasn't representing you. Wasn't even a citizen of this country, really. Wasn't even born here. I, Donald Trump, I'm the white American dream. And all of a sudden, these people started coming out of the closet. Now, it's partially that, and partially the fact that Hillary Clinton was not a great candidate, was not a great choice. There's a lot of that into it as well, as I mentioned previously. But I'm being very candid with you here, kids. I really believe that there was a racial divide, and still is. This is coming out in full force with this this travel ban from countries that happen to have a lot of Muslims in them. We all hate terrorism. We all know that the bulk of terrorism are from extremists. We know that. We get it. There are other ways to approach it. We also know that good Muslims and Muslim countries help the war on terrorism more than anything else. We also know that when you alienate a certain group of people based on their religion or their beliefs or their backgrounds, that they tend to find that to be a little disheartening, and they may start to hate you even more. And it gives ISIS, and they've already used this, documented on their websites, as they try to recruit more young people into their terrorist organization, they are now very proudly saying the United States has declared war on you. They are trying to discriminate against you. You see, we were always right about the United States. They have declared war on you because of who you are. That's what they're telling their people. It's in black and white, or whatever color it may be. You got to think things through. You got to think things through. You got to build coalitions, not alienate them. So all in all, this is not working out very well so far. But again, I thank the dictator-in-chief, Mr. Trump, for opening our eyes, for bringing it out into the open so that we can react as a nation and as a country accordingly. Okay, that's enough.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Maybe, maybe not. It's time to speak to our guest. We are driven by having to pay for this time with you here. As you know, I don't charge you anything. We're going to speak to Herbalife now about nutrition, the way that they see nutrition. And let's say hello to them now.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
How are you, John?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Dr. John Aguanabe is Chief Health and Nutrition Officer for Herbalife Nutrition, and he joins us now. He has a lot of letters after his doctor name, MD, MBA, MPH. My God, he must have done a lot of stuff.
Ron, I spent a lot of time reading lots of books.
Okay.
I learned most of my stuff from people out there on the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of people out there on the street, there are plenty of them right now, and we've just entered into a new year, and we make resolutions, and we try to keep them, and then we realize by the time we hit close to February, that's probably not going to happen, because I think we reach kind of too far, and most of it has to do with being healthy and looking good, and but we still want to achieve it, but it's rough.
Yeah. Ron, you know, by around this time of the month, we're here, end of January, people are beginning to tire. They're beginning to flag as they pursue their health goals.
Yeah.
But I'm here to try to help rescue them. There are things they can do to keep that resolution going. You know, 9% of people who try actually make it happen. The rest fail. So I'm here to try to make that percentage bigger.
Yeah, you know, most of it psychologically is denying yourself of things that you like, and that just doesn't last very long because you're just, you know, it's not good.
Yeah, Ron, you nailed it. I mean, all too often people jump into their resolution and they try to go big and strong. They're too aggressive. Yeah. They take on these diets that preclude them from eating. They exercise in a way that leaves them exhausted every day. And by the time they get to the third week of January or so, they're done. I'm here to tell people that they need to break their journey up into smaller, bite-sized habit changes. Habits take about 3 weeks to really kick in. Mm-hmm. So the key is not to push yourself to the breaking point, not to try to fix it overnight. Mm-hmm. Change your lifestyle, not just your weight. Focus on how you eat, making sure it's a balanced approach to food. Make sure that you're using good nutrition every single day. And make sure you put a little bit of activity into your life.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they say to keep your body moving. It doesn't have to be breaking your heart up and slamming yourself against a mat. I mean, there's other ways of moving the stuff around. I understand that. But yeah. How do I do this in small steps?
Yeah, so what I always advise people is, for example, when it comes to your food, focus first on one nutrient. Don't try to control everything. Don't try to count your calories. Focus on protein. Just make sure that on every meal, you're focusing on making sure you get as much protein as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. It's hard to overdose on protein. So what I tell people is focus on protein, make sure your plate has lots of beautiful colored vegetables, and you know, the rest will follow. Don't overeat, but you don't have to starve yourself or eat like a bird. Gradually build one change into your life at a time. That's the key, is not to try to overdo it all at once. When you achieve a small goal, perhaps it's you're going to increase your protein or you're going to increase your vegetables, then you get to add the next goal. Okay, now I'm going to start walking for a half mile a day. After a week or two or three, maybe you can move it up to a whole mile a day, and then two and three. Gradual, incremental steps is the key to changing your lifestyle, the key to getting healthy and managing your weight.
Okay. So, like, instead of having hot dog and potato chips and macaroni and cheese, make it a hot dog and a salad, and then once you get into the salad, make it half a hot dog and a vegetable. I guess that's the small way of doing it?
That's the principle, although I would urge people to recognize that there are lots of different sources of protein, healthy protein sources, both in plants and in animals. There are also meal replacements, which are an easy way to really take control of your nutrition. At Herbalife Nutrition, we have an F1 meal replacement shake that is really high in protein, but it also contains all of the vitamins that you might need, all of the calories that you might need in a given meal. There are lots of other options out there in the marketplace. The key is to focus on protein, and the key is to build yourself a lifestyle that is doable, not one that every day punishes you when you wake up in the morning.
Okay. Well, what's in a protein shake, an Herbalife protein shake, what is the protein?
So we actually have a number of different proteins. We principally rely on plant-based proteins like soy, but we also have milk-based proteins in some of our shakes that give you what's called whey protein. Right. There are lots of protein shakes out there, and I believe that the key is to find one that has a balanced approach to nutrition, one that gives you everything you might need if you were eating a healthy meal, because all too often when you're on the go, when your lifestyle is hectic, sometimes you might not have time to eat a full meal, and a good meal replacement shake is the way to go.
Okay. For those that may not be familiar with Herbalife, tell them about it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful nutrition company that has been around for 37 years. It's focused on helping people live healthier lives through a balanced approach to healthy nutrition and lifestyles. We believe in eating healthy, living an active, healthy lifestyle, and focusing on protein, as I've indicated. But it's all science-based, and it's focused on not fancy, you know, science out on the corners of our world, but in the very center of nutrition science, this notion that there are no magic pills to health. Right. There are no shortcuts. It's about building an active, balanced lifestyle, a healthy, balanced lifestyle.
In small doses is what you're saying, in case you can't...
In small, incremental doses, that's
okay,
right.
Yeah. Because that's the problem with most of us. I think we, it's like, if you don't want to smoke anymore, most people just say, I'm going to do a cold turkey, and then they go into withdrawal, and they just can't do it, and it takes them 50 tries. So it's just like a gradual thing, and that's better than just saying, nope, not going to eat that junk anymore. That's rough.
Well, the other thing that's important is don't try to go it alone. Never try to do it on your own. And you, whether it's stopping smoking or losing weight or just living a healthier life, when you declare to your family, your loved ones, to colleagues, or to your community that you're going down this path, they tend to help people succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, at Herbalife Nutrition, we have health coaches and distributors who help support people in their efforts. It doesn't matter who you reach out to, just make sure that you have somebody supportive helping you, who knows what your goals are, who's offering you advice and encouragement, and who's helping celebrate whenever you hit your lifestyle milestones in those small bite-sized journey.
Wonderful. How do we get more information about all of this?
Hey, Ron. You know, there are lots of places you can go to online, but I like the website discovergoodnutrition.com. It's one word, Discover Good Nutrition. Okay. Because when you go there, there's advice, and you can get questions answered on broad lifestyle issues that include nutrition, exercise, the science behind great nutrition, skin health and beauty, and food. You know, all the questions that you might need answered sit in that website, Discover Good Nutrition, one word.
Beautiful. Thanks for your time today, John.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye. Johnny. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to meditate.
I'm not to think of the fact that the moon looks a lot closer than it normally is, and that maybe the Mayans were right, and this is pretty much it. But for now, as the warmth of the river overtakes you, and you calmly float downstream, not at all thinking about the potential of a waterfall at the end of the stream over which you could plummet and fall to your death on jagged rocks below. You're just calm, at one with the flow, moving softly through the universe, even as the universe continues to simply ignore you and your constant pathetic cries for help in a life that's gone terribly, terribly wrong. And now we're coming to the end of the meditation. You'll want to rise up out of the river and not at all be concerned about the fact that you are buck naked and that there are natives along the riverbank who are pointing and laughing.
I feel so refreshed now. Oh, God, it's so good to meditate every once in a while. Sometimes I close my eyes and I imagine that I'm a chair and I have people sit on me. In my lap. It really relaxes me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost out of time for today. You know, whenever I do a political show like this and spend most of it talking about politics, I must tell you that I want you to understand that I totally understand that people are different, that their views and opinions and what they think are the better way to do things differ greatly from person to person, from place to place. I get that. But the one thing that we're supposed to all have in common is humanity and our need for peace and prosperity. We all want to prosper. We all want money to buy things. But you can only do that not by having someone tell you how they're going to do it. And you need to have everybody understand what you're doing. You need compassion. The greatest presidents and leaders of our time, not only presidents, but leaders of various organizations and movements and such, their popularity and their legacies were not based on dictating things to people. The people that we remember that have their place in our society, or the people that had places in our hearts, the people who objected with compassion, with love for other human beings, who opened doors, not closed them, who made things more possible not less possible, who listened and brought people together, not who didn't listen and divided them. These are the successes through history, the humanitarians, those that listened and made us feel like our lives were enriched by their presence. So, that in mind, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.